The views and opinions expressed in the following podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the DBM Production Empire. That's how you know it's good.
You're listening to the DBM Production Empire. DBMPE. Now celebrating 10 years on the air, online, and in your ears.
My God, has it been that long?
Join the millions of subscribers and be a part of the Empire today at www.dbmpe.com.
Welcome to Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden salute to America. We'd like to celebrate this great country of ours by paying tribute to our storied history and the freedoms that we have all enjoyed here all the way up to the 2016 election. That includes the freedom to do and say whatever we want, to tell the painful truths that need to be told, or to just make tasteless dick jokes. This show contains a bunch of those. There are even sound effects. So if you're easily offended, consider yourself warned. But if you're easily offended, well then, why don't you go back to Russia? And while you're there, say hello to our president. Until then, enjoy the show.
Yeah! All right, let's do it! Suck it!
Come on, everyone, let's go join the fun in Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden. It's not far to go. We'll enjoy the show in Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden. Come on and come on, we'll grab you by the balls in Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden.
You are history. Today's episode, Teddy Roosevelt gets shot. In 1912, Teddy Roosevelt found himself at odds with the Republican Party and ran for president as part of a progressive Bull Moose Party. However, during a campaign speech, he was shot by a would-be assassin. As the bullet was partly stopped by the papers folded in his jacket pocket, Roosevelt decided to make American history by staying on his feet and finishing the speech to thunderous applause.
And though men of evil intent will try to destroy democracy, they cannot stop the will of the American people. And though I have been wounded on this very stage, I remain to speak the truth. The American doorknob will prevail. Even as my vital fluids leak down the leg of my trousers, I am uplifted by the voices of the American people who are shouting to me, "Ride the rainbow unicorn." That'll show 'em. Hey, Taft, you fat ass. Why you was always got mustard stains on your jacket, huh? Good night, America. And don't forget to floss.
Luckily, there was a doctor in the house, allowing Roosevelt to make a full and speedy recovery. And, in a stunning upset straight out of a Hollywood movie, completely and utterly lose the election. Tune in again next time for another episode of You Are History.
We started this side by side. You were along just for the ride. 4 years in, it felt so great. We signed up for another strike. But when I got an itch to scratch, you set the fire and lit the match. You flipped on so many things. I trusted you and it's those things. I'm gonna start a party. And tap, you're not invited. Cause you've taken down my initiatives. And now I am inside it. And it's full late for you. Follow me from town to town. If I can't have it, burn it down. You've proven you can't do this right. We'll both go down in this fight. So here.
is a new edition from an old police commission. A man with fresh ambitions, locked and loaded on a mission. The German regulations gave me too much aggravation to retain my reputation. Going back to leave the nation, 'cause I'm bully for you.
In 1912, Theodore Roosevelt split the Republican vote by running his own Bull Moose Party against his former friend turned arch-rival William Howard Taft, putting Democrat Woodrow Wilson in the White House. Ain't that a kick in the fucking teeth? I try to tell the world that you're not really progressive, but I didn't think about this role. You'd be so damn possessive. So it's bully for you, bully for you, bully for you, bully for you. Speak softly and carry a big guitar.
Okay, folks, now that the 2020 ballot initiative votes are in, let's revisit that earlier discussion of replacing Thomas Jefferson and George Washington on all of our money.
Boo!
I know, but now that we realize that slavery was always wrong, we can't have slave owners represented on the money of these United States.
Fine, so who won?
Well, the same person was voted to be the new face on the nickel and the quarter, so we're just gonna roll with it. And that name is Bill Cosby. That's right, Dr. Bill Cosby III, no relation.
He's a sweet man and a real OBGYN.
So America really voted for a guy with the same name as a serial rapist?
Personally, I only voted for names that sounded American, and it was the first on a very long list.
Of the most unfortunate names to have right now.
All right, next up, the new face of the $2 bill is Bill Cosby.
Wait. The Bill Cosby this time?
That's right, Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable himself.
Yes! Whoa, the original Pudding Man, even despite the fact that he's in J-Lo.
But how? 50 women accused him of rape or assault. That's more than 3 All-American Girls professional baseball teams.
And like the Peaches in A League of Their Own, America may have dropped the ball on this one, but we do love our moist desserts.
And a lovable father figure type from the 80s.
With a heinous dark past.
And lastly, we're going to replace George Washington's mug on the $1 bill with...
Oh, God, please say Tom Hanks.
That's right, 2 Bill Cosbys.
Controversial, but it does prove that cloning works.
Of all the people to clone, why did we start with Bill Cosby?
Have you seen Bill Cosby and Bill Cosby's two-man show? It's my sleeper pick for the Tonys.
They're the greatest achievement in modern American history.
I couldn't agree more. Well, we did it. Great job, folks. Next week, we have an even harder task to complete.
Ending the second Holocaust on a high note?
Exactly.
You are history. Today's episode, The McCarthy Era. United States Senator from Wisconsin, Joseph McCarthy, rose to fame by claiming that communists had infiltrated the United States government. Though after claiming to have a list of names, he never provided any of these names publicly. The Army McCarthy hearings marked the end of McCarthy's influence as a staunch communist hunter in the U.S. Senate. Due to his behavior, his influence faded until his death in 1958. McCarthy claimed that his communists had infiltrated the United States Army. On June 9, 1954, McCarthy interrogated the chief counsel of the United States Army, Joseph Welch.
Avalos. Unitary communist subversives. Our end defense plans right now? Rudy Tui.
I would ask that Mr. Cohen provide the list of communists you supposedly have to the Attorney General before the sun goes down.
Oh, pal. You care so damn much about it? You should check on this guy in your law office, Fred Fisher. He's probably a damn communist.
Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you no sense of decency left? Senator McCarthy, are you drunk?
I? sir, am I, as think, as drunk I am.
This is disgraceful.
Waitress, margin.
Is that a bottle of Everclear?
I can have all you bitches banned from watching I Love Lucy ever again.
History does not record if McCarthy ever got his gem, but we do know he got his just desserts. Tune in again next time for another episode of You Are History.
Jamie, I'm so glad that you're back. How was Louisville?
Please say it the right way.
Louisville?
Louisville.
Louisville. How was it?
Not bad. I had lunch at this great little farm-to-table place. It was delicious.
Oh, I'll have to try it when I visit Louisville.
You should. Hey, but what about you? Didn't you just get back from New Orleans? New Orleans.
Nolens.
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 Oh, it was fantastic. I had so many beignets at Cafe du Monde.
Oh, I love those little French donuts.
Oh, Alex, welcome back.
Hey!
Thanks, I just got in.
How was Minneapolis?
Minneapolis.
Melniapula.
Minneapolis.
Meningitis.
Menopause.
Thanks for the great day, Uncle Sam.
It was my pleasure, Billy. I'm glad you had fun.
So much fun. I like blowing the heads off of those dummies.
You sure did. And you know what? You learned things while having fun.
Gee willikers, no way.
Yes, Billy, you did. You learned about the importance of racial profiling.
What's that?
Well, you see, racial profiling is when you judge people by their heritage or the color of their skin.
Oh, like how we only shot the darker dummies with the things on their heads?
Exactly.
Racial profiling is fun, Uncle Sam.
It sure is, Billy. But it's also important for our national defense.
It is?
Yes, sir. Without racial profiling, we wouldn't stop all those nasty immigrants from marrying our daughters.
Oh, but what does that have to do with national defense, Uncle Sam?
It's simple, Billy. People need a scapegoat. By blaming a specific group of people, we don't blame ourselves for our shortcomings.
Okay, but the national defense?
We need to protect the American way.
But wasn't America founded by people who were oppressed for being different in their home country?
I mean, yeah, I guess you could put it that way.
So doesn't that mean that we shouldn't do to others what we didn't want to happen to us?
Look, kid, you're just too young to understand. It's important to profile people in order to keep us safe.
I must be, because I don't understand how that keeps us safe. Please explain, Uncle Sam.
Well, Billy, many people of a certain type have hurt many people of our type.
Our type?
Yes, white Christians.
And their type?
Muslim.
What color?
What?
Well, you said that our type was white, so what color is their type?
Well, brown, I suppose.
Okay, but didn't you said some of their type, not all.
Well, yes, I'm sure most of them are nice enough.
But we still profile all of them?
You never can tell who is a terrorist.
Unless they're white and Christian, then you know that they aren't, right?
Well, no.
I'm confused.
Not all terrorists are brown Muslims.
Really? Like which ones, Uncle Sam?
Well, there's Ted Kaczynski, Timothy McVeigh, Dylan Roof, the whole Bundy family from Nevada. At this point, anyone in a polo shirt carrying a tiki torch.
So, why are we picking on Muslims?
Oh, I don't know if I would call it picking on them.
Is it just because we're threatened by anyone who's even a little different?
Hey, Billy, let's talk about something else. It's such a beautiful day.
Okay. Tell me about Black Lives Matter.
Oh, fuck you, Billy.
You are history. Today's episode, The Space Race.
Spurred on by the Cold War, President John F. Kennedy declared the United States would put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. And so we did. Here is the unedited audio of astronaut Neil Armstrong's first historic steps.
One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind.
Cut!
Aw, Mr. Kubrick, what's the problem now? This is the 22nd take, and I'm sweating like Sophia Loren just showed up in my trailer naked.
I want something more believable, Neil. I think for a huge moment like this, you'd flub the line a bit. How about you read it as, one small step for a man, one giant step for my enormous penis?
That seems a bit extreme. How about I just drop the first A or something?
Fine, fine. Whatever. Actors.
Hey, Stanley. If Neil doesn't want to do it, I can be the first man on the moon.
One small step for a man.
Shut up, Buzz.
And thanks to the magic of cinema, to this day, most of us still think that we went to the moon and that the Earth is round. Tune in again next time for another episode of You Are History.
Raining
men.
Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden was written and performed by Keith Hernandez, Isaiah Heaton, Patrick Harrington, Rebecca Rivers, Brian Sweeney, Scott Mercer, Amanda Davila, Elizabeth Krahulik, Nick Mataragas, Mike O'Filleritz, Roland Betruni, Declan Shannon, and Alan Morgan. Music by Pop Machine. Tom Giaroso, Scott Mercer, and Alan Morgan. Mr. Wiggly is a joint production of Memoriam Development and the DVMPE.
Really, too.
WGLY.
Yo, hot.